I'm lucky enough to be here today with Chris Lee, who was born in South Korea, raised in the United States, and studied in the United States and England. She is an accomplished author who was a finalist for Best New American Voices and received a special mention in the 2012 Pushcart Prize. Her work has appeared in a variety of reputable venues, and she lives the life that I think I really wish I could live, living in Seoul with what she describes as intervals in San Francisco. But most importantly, Miss Lee just published Drifting House, 224 pages and 9 short stories that have been really remarkably well received. The stories alternate between the lives of Koreans struggling through post-World War history, and also Korean immigrants in the United States struggling with assimilation there. In the title story, children escaping famine in North Korea are forced to make unthinkable sacrifices to survive, and the tales set in America reveal the immigrants living unmoored existences. We'll talk about that unmoored thing a little bit more. For the moment, Chris, welcome to 1013 Main Street.
Thank you very much for having me here.
It's really our pleasure. And I'll jump in with some of the questions in no particular order. What are your, I think some of this is clear from the titles of your stories and from the title of the collection itself, but what would you say are your main themes?
Well, you know, when you're actually writing, you don't think about themes at all, at least the kind of writer I am, because you're really trying to just be true to your characters. But as I was, you know, starting my 6th story or maybe my 5th story, I started to see that they were all talking to each other, that these stories had a lot in common. And some of those themes would be certainly the sense of belonging or not belonging, sex, violence, loss, and possibly, depending on who you talk to, an obsession with history.
Well, Korea, I think it's fair to say Korea and Korean literature, to focus on that half of it, is strongly focused on history.
Right. Well, and of course, with history, there's always the family history and the national history. And I think, at least for me, I've always thought of the personal as the political, and you really can't get away from the relationship between the two. And I think that's apparent in the writing. It keeps coming back. I was a little surprised by that.
Again, that reminds me actually a lot of some of the translated fiction that I've read. Park Won-su, Chae Yun, stories like that tend to do that. They tend to, a lot of Pundan Munhak does that, takes the family and then interweaves it and makes it symbolic of the greater national story.
Right. Yes, I think those are wonderful comparisons. I'd be honored to be in their company. I certainly feel that, at least with my own family having come over, and I think with many people who are of the Korean Americans or Korean Canadians or Korean British, people of the diaspora, there is a sense of a lack of history until you return, and then you start to see where the family came from, why, whatever happened to your family, why it might have happened as well. And as my collection can probably, well, at least I think what my collection probably suggests is that, at least in our case and in the families around us, this immigrant population, it wasn't exactly a happy story most of the time. I think those stories are there, and I am certainly not trying to represent a universal experience. And whenever someone asks me or writes a Goodreads review saying, well, I asked my Korean friend if her experience was like this, and she said no, I'm not trying to represent the universal. I'm writing what I know. What feels true to me?
Because you're writing sort of internationally here, when you think about your audience, who do you see?
Again, when I was writing the stories, I never considered audience at all, partially because I was writing short stories, and you don't expect to really find a large audience. And as well, I think if you really need to write, and the writing is unhinged in a sense, you write for those characters, you write to make these people individuals, and then the story really takes over. Only when I stepped back did I see and wonder and worry about reception and who that audience would be. I'd like to think that I write very much for both what you might call my people, Koreans, Korean Americans who've returned. Certainly the collection comes out of a love for a country, and I always think of Koreans, Korean Americans, as well as, or Korean diaspora, I suppose, the Korean diaspora, as well as the country itself as survivors. This 20th century has been a really rough one. They've all come out, not all, but many of them have come out and done well for themselves, or at least has made it. And I think that the odds were very much against that happening. So it is a really small miracle, but that legacy is still there for the vast majority of us, and especially the generation that I'm writing about. Whereas in the collection, you also see a younger generation that's hardier in a sense, that is carrying less history, that might not even understand that history. So I like to think that that audience is a very important audience for me, but at the same time, I'm writing about individuals and people. And when I had all these discussions with editors, you know, there was a bidding war for the book, and 8 major publishers jumped in, and they kept repeating to me, you know, it's interesting to learn about a new country and all that, and Korea sounds very interesting, but your characters, they said, we felt as if we could be those people, and it showed us how one can live such an ordinary life and yet always be at the cliff of danger. And that really struck me, because that's kind of how I feel life to be all the time. You can be so happy sometimes, and yet that happiness is so precarious, which is what makes it so valuable.
You mentioned a bidding war. This makes me wonder, this book has been, not only was there the bidding war, but this book has been copiously and pretty gloriously reviewed. Why do you feel that this book, these particular stories, are having this relatively massive impact at this time?
It certainly took me by surprise. We sold in the fall of 2010. Korea was not fashionable or popular. But again, there were 8 major publishers bidding for a collection and an unwritten novel, which was not happening at that time. Pre-2008, it was much more common, but post-2008, the entire publishing industry changed, and it's become extremely cautious. I even had a major publisher who wanted the story collection and didn't want the novel, which again is a rarity because story collections come with all sorts of preconceptions of an investment.
Well, an economic failure, actually, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. The response was that the collection really felt in some ways very novelesque. It felt like a very large landscape, a large world. And again, only in retrospect could I see that it covered a great span of time, and also that in each story, there's a lot going on. I mean, I'm a novel writer at heart in some sense, and my stories would expand, and I really just worked very hard to make them trim down into stories. I didn't want these quiet, small stories. I love those, but that's just not the kind of writer I am. I always feel like in order for a person to understand my characters, you have to understand the world that they're operating in. What is the world they're moving in? Because that world and you are at constant odds against each other. It's a constant negotiation between society, the family, the community, the country, and the individual. And in order to make that all fit in, you really get a kind of larger world, but the characters are what's central. And I think that's really spoke to a lot of editors. Having said that, of course, now it's interesting to see the reception. 95% of the radio interviews and the reviews I've been getting, as well as the interviews on in print, have just been asking me about the stories, and they're interested in the work. There's been a few instances where I realize, they're really pushing the North Korean thing, and they are one reviewer hasn't read it so carefully. I've had that impression before. But in general, if they're really interested in just North Korea, they're going to Adam Johnson for those questions. And, for example, when The Economist interviewed me, there wasn't a single North Korean question, and from the Financial Times as well. They're seeing this as a collection, and they told me again and again, it's the writing. I have no idea. I mean, it's my collection. I've lost all sense of objectivity.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. And yeah, you're right. That North Korean thing is an easy out for people who haven't thought too deeply about Korea, that you approach Korea either as through the prism of North Korea or through the prism of MASH.
Exactly. I mean, 8 of those stories have nothing to do with North Korea. I mean, it's a country I am, through my defector friends, very deeply involved with, and it's material that I am going to return to because there's a lot I have to say for all my years of friendships and involvements. But I think this collection comes from a very different place. And by default, it covers the diaspora just because those are my interests.
Well, you also said that when people read this, that they tended to see it as relatively novelistic, even for short stories, which, again, in some ways fits a Korean literature. I think it's a Sosal Yosak. I may have the Korean wrong. Like Cho Se-hui's work, The Dwarf, which is stories put together, but the stories are intended to create a novelistic impact. At the same time, also similar to Cho Se-hui or Che Yun, your stories portray a pretty fractured world. Where does your sense of this fracturing and separation come from? Is it all in the history?
Well, I think those are good comparisons, except that the stories aren't linked in that way. But I think The Dwarf is an incredible story in itself, the one you're referring to. I think it's a longer title, of course.
For Che Yun, I would say There a Petal Silently Falls is that kind of fractured writing style.
Right. But I think that there are certain stories that are completed stories that yet feel like there's a kind of deeper resonance and a larger world it's speaking to. And I suspect that's more my style rather than those beautiful, perfect interior stories of, let's say, a Tobias Wolff, mm-hmm. Okay. Whose stories I love. It's just very different from my work. The fracturing, I mean, I think part of it is certainly history, but most of it really, I mean, each book that one writes is a reflection also of where that writer is at a certain state and a certain time and place. And the person I was when I was writing those stories was, in some sense, a very wounded person, a person who was, in a sense, fractured and grappling with a family that had been destroyed. And those stories are a grappling of that history, that fractured personal history, and through that, I'm trying to understand the history of a country that informed and changed all these families around me, because I grew up in an immigrant community of many broken, struggling survivors. This is not the world of this isn't the world that Chang Rae-Lee or Susan Choi grew up in. Their worlds were challenging in different ways, but the world I knew was a West Coast community of immigrants who often did not have health insurance, who suffered in different ways, who ran away from Korea for various reasons. And these were my encounters with people. I mean, they are not literal characters from life. I don't write from life, except in one case. There's an autobiographical story, but in general, it's made up. The world I know and understand is definitely informing the collection.
Okay, then sort of building on that, how does your liminal existence, which is hinted at the title, Drifting House, and is clear in all the stories, how does your liminal existence affect you as a writer? And now, after you've worked your way through this book, where do you identify your home?
For many years now, Seoul, Korea has been my home, and I've been very grateful to this country for giving me a place that I can call and feel is home. I've lived in Seoul for longer than I've lived in any other city my entire life. We moved around a lot, and the city I've lived in the longest outside of Seoul was, they were cities where I lived for 3 years. No more than 3 years. And in Seoul, I've actually spent over 10 years of my life now. And it very much feels like home at this point. But at the same time, like any expat will, feel, you may feel at home, and yet you're never quite at home because the people here have often gone to kindergarten, elementary school, junior high school, and college. gone through all the rites of adulthood with their friends and family beside them. I certainly don't have that experience. And though I admire it, I'm always kind of outside of it. And so that drifting house is the way I see myself, you know, this kind of a house where you're home wherever you happen to be. And for the last 10 years, that place has been Seoul. And yet you're never quite here or there. When I'm in America, I long for Korea, as I am now. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in Korea, I often long in, you know, and miss America or England.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a topic for another interview somewhere else. But the question of you're not having grown up with your cohort and living in Korea is extremely difficult because Korea does grow up as a cohort. You know, you go to MT together, you spend 4 years in university, that must be difficult.
Yeah, I think it can be beautiful intimacy. For others, it could also be stifling. I think it depends on what perspective one takes.
I think I know the way you're going to answer this, but I'll ask it anyhow. It's kind of a cliched question, my fault. To what extent do you see yourself as a Korean writing in English, a Korean-American writer, and or just a writer?
I think of myself first as a Korean-American writer because I'm writing in English. You know, I could never write in Korean. I love the language. I love reading it. I love literature, Korean literature, but I'm certainly not able to ever write in that language. So many people will do it better than me, you know, by far. But I also think of myself, of course, as a writer, because you are writing about universal experiences. The world I'm most intimate with happens to be this world and these characters and these people. But I think, again, in my third novel, which I'm starting to kind of plot out, my third book that I'm starting to plot out, or not really plot out, but kind of tinker with ideas, it's taking me back to Europe, which has been a big part of my world and my imagination as well. I spent some very important early years there. And I do consider that another kind of home, too. And by default, because of the geography is different, my experiences are different there, the characters and their landscape will change, too.
You mentioned your new project. Very briefly, just for any potential authors out there, what is your writing process?
I try to write in the mornings now that I have the luxury to. I'm mainly a full-time writer at this point, though I do some work with KLTI on a regular basis. But normally I try to write in the mornings now, and I will sometimes work at the desk, sometimes at a cafe, in a library, outdoors, by the river, camping, whatever works. Sometimes I go on the subway when I'm really stuck and I'm running away from a scene, and I'll force myself to go from one end of the line to the other and write. This whole subway has probably saved many a scene in my novel, for example, and I'm really appreciative of that.
The last question I had was something I just picked up as I was doing a little bit of internet work, internet research on you. Yeah, you are the editor or involved in some way in a Korean literature quarterly magazine. Can you tell me about that?
Oh, that's List for KLTI.
Oh, okay. So well, geez, I've been involved in some of that, too.
Yeah, because I'm a co-editor on the magazine. Oh. So that's been something I've been doing from the very beginning when it began 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was also, like, the editor for the New Writing from Korea. So, no, it's just...
For the two books, the New Writing from Korea 1 and 2?
I was on number 2, and we were starting number 3 until the director decided to drop that project and put everything into List. I mean, they basically tripled the print run for List.
Well, I will say, I'm going to thank you now for the interview, and I will send you a copy of the digital when we're done with it.